My name is Thaddeus Risto, and I'm here with Dr. Russ Sommerfeld, Assistant Professor of Theology at Concordia University, Nebraska. How are you doing today?
Doing very well, thank you.
Thanks so much for joining me today.
Happy to do so.
My first question for you is, how did you know that God was calling you to be a pastor?
It started when I was in seventh grade. My confirmation pastor kept me after class. I thought I was in trouble, but he actually said this to me. I'll always remember what he said. He said, "Russell, I think you ought to pray about serving as a pastor." I did not take him seriously at first. It was not something I'd ever considered. And so I went home and told my parents about it. They, of course, were very pleased to hear this, but I was a little puzzled because I was a shy, quiet youngster, why he would pick me out and ask me to consider this. That's how it started.
My next question is, what would you consider like your calling process was like as a seventh grader or even further on in your schooling?
Sure, be happy to talk about that. What happened between seventh grade and my senior year of high school is that I was quite surprised. And my junior year, I registered for speech and debate. When I did this, my parents said, "You? You're not a public speaker." And I said, "Well, I've always wanted to learn about that." And so I began to learn what it meant to be a public speaker. I had some of the most fun I've ever had in my life. I was really surprised at what happened. And my debate partner, he and I both ended up being pastors, which I think is quite interesting. And during that time, I began to wonder about what my pastor had told me in seventh grade a lot more seriously. And I was thinking about going into law school. I was thinking about becoming a speech teacher. And I was at a speech tournament at Marion High School in Omaha. And we were in between competition, and I was sitting by some of the statues there. It's a Roman Catholic high school. And I was praying about what I was going to do. And it just became rather clear to me that I should go back to my guidance counselor on Monday. This was on a Saturday. And tell him that I needed to start making preparations to go to college to prepare to be a pastor. So that's how that calling process occurred. Then I went through my college education onto seminary training. Then the next part of my calling occurred when a dual parish of churches actually extended a call to me upon my finishing of the seminary. So that's how it came about.
I understand that you were the president of the Nebraska district of the LCMS. What was an average day for you as the president?
Oh, I loved it. You never knew what was going to happen each and every day. Some days I was talking to people about wanting to start a new congregation. Moments later, I'd be on the phone talking to a congregation that was getting ready to call a new pastor. And of course, being a parish pastor is very similar in many respects. There are certain things that are routine to both kinds of work, but there are also things that come along. I've always loved where God takes me. He's always surprised me. Being a parish pastor is very similar. One moment you're getting ready for a Bible study. Another moment someone's calling you. It's time to go to the hospital and care for someone. Another moment you're getting ready to prep for a funeral. The next, I mean, it's always opportunities to engage people with the Lord.
Can you tell me what a district in the LCMS is and explain what it does?
Be glad to. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is a church body of a little over 6,000 congregations, around a million people who are members of those congregations. The headquarters for the denomination is in St. Louis, Missouri, and the various aspects of the denomination or geographic areas are divided up into 35 different districts across the United States, including Hawaii, Alaska, and then we also have two non-geographical districts, too, that cover areas from Florida to even a small little bit of Canada. A district provides the following things in its particular area. One, it provides, through the district president, supervision for the congregations, ecclesiastical supervision, for if there are schools, as well as for church workers, pastors, teachers, directors of Christian education, deaconesses, family life ministers, directors of parish music. And here in Nebraska, there are 247 congregations. There's 39 schools. schools that are here, four of which are high schools. And so the district president works with all of those in a supervisory role. He's assisted by executives, an executive for education who functions as a superintendent of all of those schools. He is also assisted by executives in the area of missions. And the district also functions as an opportunity for those congregations to pool resources. And so the district really functions as the church body in its particular region.
You mentioned being a parish pastor. Could you tell me, where did you serve?
Be glad to. I started out serving as a pastor at Emmanuel and St. John's Lutheran Churches, a dual parish in Kansas, at Canton and Bound Ridge, Kansas. Served there for 6 years. I never imagined myself a rural pastor. I was very surprised when the seminary worked with the district president in Kansas so that I would receive a call to serve there. Wasn't where I expected to go at all. I'd been trained a lot for work in hospital settings as a chaplain, and yet I went to the rural area. I fell in love with it. It was marvelous. From there, after 6 years, I went to Trinity Lutheran Church in Arapahoe, Nebraska. That's a community of 1,000 people, and in those days, it was a little over 600 people. So kind of an unusual situation. We took in a fairly large area around Arapahoe. Those were really wonderful days. Again, I enjoyed the small town ministry. Had not ever pictured myself there. We were there for 10 years, my family and I. That's where our children really grew up. We started there in Kansas. They grew up there. And then from there, I went to Kearney, Nebraska, to Holy Cross Lutheran Church. And I was there from 1995 to 2003 before I was elected to serve as a district president here in Nebraska. That was really also a great joy to serve there. This was a very fast-growing congregation with also a university ministry. We added staff while I was there. We doubled the square footage of the building. We did all kinds of really marvelous things that God gave us the opportunity to do. He blessed us. Frankly, he blessed us in each of those situations, the dual parish, the small town, and there. I just have been very fortunate in each of those ministries.
Do you have any memories as being a parish pastor that you could tell us?
That's one of the really great things about being a pastor, is that the memories that you have are precious. And there's so many people, so many situations you work with, wonderful times of people celebrating marvelous events in their lives, baptisms, confirmations, wedding anniversaries, anniversaries of a congregation, new building projects. And some of the memories are very, very emotional. On an accident scene with someone who's dying, with a couple whose child has just been stillborn, with someone who's in a hospital bed hearing that they've just been diagnosed with terminal cancer, in a nursing home with someone who is dealing with dementia, and you're caring for them and helping them and their families to work through that. I don't think there's anything like it, honestly. People let you into the most important parts of their lives, their spiritual lives. I can't even tell you how many times I've been so deeply, deeply moved. There have also been lots of fun times, too. One particular time, we had a member in the congregation. He was 100 plus years old, and he was a jokester. And on the day of his funeral, we went out to get into the hearse and go out to the cemetery for the committal service. And the hearse wouldn't start, so we had to jump start it. And everybody thought that he'd arranged it. And, you know, we had a lot of fun laughing about things like that. All kinds of funny wedding stories, too. Most pastors could write books and books of all kinds of stories there. For me, I also had a lot of fun living in small town. Small town living is great. And when I lived in Arapahoe, Nebraska, my wife and I always had pets. And so we had this pet beagle. We've had 5 total beagles. And this was our first. His name was Sherlock Holmes. And he was infamous in the community of Arapahoe. On one particular occasion, he went over to the church nativity scene. He liked to sit up on the hay in the church nativity scene, kind of like Snoopy, you know, keeping guard over it. And it was a warm winter that year, so he took baby Jesus, the figurine, out of the manger, came across the street into my backyard, dug a hole, and buried him. So the joke around the congregation was that this dog was in a hurry for Easter. He was also a Houdini. We did have a run for him, but he would get loose quite often. One evening, I was at a high school football game, and he came to the game, and he interrupted the game. We had to call up an official timeout because he was chasing the ball carrier down the field. And so the announcer, who was a member of the congregation I serve, this is small town living, he says, "Would Reverend Sommerfeld please get out on the field and get his dog?" So I had to go out there. And of course, I called him, and he wouldn't come to me. So I'm running up and down the field trying to get him. People are laughing, you know, having a wonderful time. Probably his most famous act, though, was I lived across the alley from the county attorney, and the county attorney was barbecuing one evening, and he went back in the house to get something, I'm not sure what, and he left the lid of his grill open. So old Sherlock, he smelled that steak over there cooking away. He went over and grabbed it off the grill and took off with it. So it's really, you know, not good, you know, to take the county attorney's steak.
Yeah.
So county attorney and I, that's how we really got acquainted. We always would tease each other about that particular incident. And Sherlock was registered, so there was another beagle in town, and we had puppies. And so I was always offering the county attorney a puppy, and he always refused. But parish ministry is fun.
Now, taking it away from the ministerial side of your life, you did mention about how you love teaching. My next question for you about that would be, how has your many years of ministry work benefited you while teaching at Concordia?
It gives me an opportunity to use a lot of practical experiences that I've had in the classroom. So when we're discussing a particular topic, be it in an Old Testament course where I'm working through the whole of the Old Testament in a semester, or I'm in a faith and life course where we're applying faith to daily life, I have all kinds of people and experiences and opportunities that I had to draw upon. And so quite often I will, in my preparation for my lectures, I'll include a lot of those accounts that then really make things very, very real for people, not just academic, but very real because of the actual situations. And I'm always pretty careful to change names and to protect people's identity, because that's very important to me when I'm relating an account from a real experience. Sometimes I'll change a few facts even just to protect that kind of identity for people.
What are some things that you like to do in your free time?
First of all, my wife and I have always enjoyed, throughout our entire relationship, sitting and visiting. So one of the things we like to do is we like to go out and eat somewhere. It doesn't have to be any place fancy. And just sit and talk with one another. That's something that's a joy for us. Other hobbies that I have that are fun for me, I like to ride bicycle. I've done this for many years. There's something about being outdoors. In the warmer months, it's just really fun to be out riding. I love to ride alone, to have time by myself, to think and pray. I also enjoy the physical benefits of doing so. I don't take advantage of another one of my hobbies right now. I did when I was a parish pastor, and that I play French horn, and I enjoyed doing that with an ensemble, an orchestra, when I was in my last congregation. But my schedule keeps me busy enough that I don't take out time to do that right now. Those would be the two things that I enjoy the most.
More on your family. You mentioned your wife. What's her name?
Her name is Donna, but we don't call her that. Her nickname is Nino. That comes from her maiden name, Carnino, with a silent G. That's what we call her. Even her grandchildren call her Grandma Nino.
And how many children? As well as grandchildren?
We have three. I have two sons and a daughter. They're all growing. They're all married. We have three little granddaughters, and we have another grandchild on the way that'll be born in July. So who knows, maybe another little girl and maybe a little boy. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, being a grandparent's one of my other really favorite things to do. I have a lot of fun with my grandchildren, and it's so nice to get them all spoiled and then just send them home.
That's all I have for you today. Thank you so much for coming out and joining me for this interview. It was great to get to know you.
I was happy to do it, Thad, and thanks for asking me.